Hello, we're so glad you're here. Like Dragons Did They Fight podcast. You are in the right place tonight listening to this podcast. There are so many amazing principles that are just life-changing in my life. I think the title or the name of this company, Life Changing Services, is quite appropriate. Because the way these principles have just eliminated the truths that are so important in our life that we already have, it's been wonderful to shine a light on the spiritual battles that we face and how the adversary, through his lies, keeps us from really connecting with the Savior when we believe those lies that he tells us, and we don't know how to defend ourselves and protect that space there in our mind and in our heart to show up as the people that we are divinely and follow through with confidence in our purpose. So tonight I have Ashley here. I'm so grateful that she is taking her time. I don't know Ashley very well, and I wish I had so much time to talk to her. Just from the little bit she shared with me just before we start, I'm like, stop it already. You are living a life with all capital letters. So, Ashley, tell us a little bit about you and how you discovered life-changing services and why you appreciate the principles and how they trained and healed the whole family.
All right. My name is Ashley Hunter. Like you said, I found life-changing services just over a year and a half ago. It was in July, even know the exact month of when I found this program, because that's how life changing is. That's how I measure my life now, is how long has it been since then. I was in the middle of my husband and I had recently separated, and I was just kind of floundering. I had no idea what was going on or what I was doing. I was drowning. It was rough, and I just needed some help. And
So
so
hard.
I just started Googling different programs, and I saw a number of different ones that worked with betrayal trauma specifically, but was really drawn to Life Changing Services Worth program because it offered free counseling. And I, like, not counseling, but free therapist-led groups, right? And I just knew that I needed the best kind of help I could get. And so this idea of finding some support that could easily fit into my budget was crucial. And so that's how I just happened to Google it and loved the easy access to someone who could quickly help me with what I was needing.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was really great. Since then, I worked in a therapist-led group for a little over a year and then transitioned out of that. Throughout that year, my marriage ended up going to divorce, which at the time was devastating, but now, mostly because of the things that I've learned in this with this company, I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm doing okay. And then about just after a year after finding Worth, I helped with the mentoring program. They started up a mentoring program, so I was one of the first mentors, and we started the whole mentor-led groups that they have, and I've been doing that ever since. And I have been on the side doing life coaching with Choose Recovery, which is kind of goes hand in hand with life changing services and stuff. So that's what I've been up to, and it's been a pretty incredible year and a half.
Oh my goodness. You got like a big, huge whirlwind that's just, oh my goodness, it's
Yeah,
big.
it's big,
Oh, and
definitely.
you know, yeah, you listeners, I wish you could see Ashley's face. Like, as she talks, she smiles at the same time as she talks. Like, she's, I think, yeah, you can just tell that you've found some clarity. You can see it. Yeah, I can feel it as you speak that you found some clarity and you're headed in a direction that really pleases you and brings you a lot of peace, I can tell.
Definitely. That's the perfect way to describe it. It's just peaceful. Even in this huge whirlwind of change, what my life looked like before Life Changing Services and what it looks like now is completely different. My life has changed. But it's changed with a whole bunch of peace and joy and not a lot of calm. It's always chaos, but there's peace in the chaos.
Yeah. And that's why I said at the beginning, okay, Ashley has a life with all capital letters. Life is like, she's a single mom. She has children with a single mom and they're not big kids, like totally, you know, they're a little smaller, right?
And got a 9-year-old and a 2-year-old. So yeah.
Yeah. And then, and you're in a graduate program. Hello.
Yeah. So I run my own daycare from my home. That's easier than paying child care. I just do it for other people. And then in the evenings after my kids go to bed, I'm in a graduate program for clinical mental health counseling so that eventually I can help people professionally. That's what I want to do.
Well, you are so wonderful. I am just so happy that you're here. Thank you so much.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, all right, Ashley, the topic, you know, we've reached out to the coaches, the mentors, and we have just said, you know what? We want to highlight these important principles so that when people hear them on this podcast, they'll be like, what? I really like the way that tasted. I want to go get some more of that feast, right? Like, and just one principle is what we're asking everybody to come to share in just why it means so much to you and how that's made a difference in your life. And your topic is transforming Satan's lies. And I'm just going to turn the time over to you, and you people out there in podcast land, you are going to just be in a class with me as Ashley describes transforming Satan's lies, that lesson in Eternal Warriors.
Okay. First, I think it's incredible that the podcast is even addressing these topics, because like you said, it's from Eternal Warriors, which is one of their programs that you go and you enroll in and you pay for and you learn these incredible things. And so the fact that they will say, well, let's do a podcast on it just so we can get people some help, I think is amazing. That's why I love this company, because the goal is really just to help people and strengthen people and empower people. It's not like there have been some other companies that I feel like they just kind of want me to pay for stuff, and this one would appreciate it, but really just wants to help. Anyway, that was just my random little plug. I just love this.
I do love that too. A very generous director. He gets that piece of it. Like, some things do have to cost money, but we try so hard to be really generous as well, because people, we all need help.
We all need help, for sure. It's amazing. Okay, so this topic, transforming Satan's lies, is one of the first ones that I learned when I was in the program, and it just changed everything for me. So I was really excited that I got to do this one. When I first joined, I was talking in my therapist-led group, and I was saying things like, well, I don't know if I can do that. I'm really afraid of this, and I fear that if I do it that way, then this will happen, and I think if I do this, that just makes me nervous. I fear that. And the therapist, she stopped me. She said, you know, Ashley, you are saying the word fear an awful lot. And so I don't know if you realize this, but the spirit doesn't work in fear. So these feelings that you're experiencing are probably not coming from the spirit. They're probably coming from Satan. And she goes, I have a feeling that you're feeling pretty good, that you're feeling comfortable and confident. But if you were to actually stop and look around, you would be feeling comfortable because you're in like a condo, but you're actually in Satan's condo. And if you really start looking, it's not as comfortable as you think it is. Maybe a little more dingy, or there's giant cockroaches on the ceiling or something, but Satan's condo isn't actually as safe as you want it to be. So that was mind blowing. I can't even tell you how many times I've shared that story, because it just changed everything. I went, oh, the things that I'm learning and the things that I'm feeling might be coming from Satan. And he might be making me just think that I'm comfortable and safe when I'm really not. And then maybe a week later, I was in the scriptures and I came across that verse that said, lull them away into carnal security. And I went, oh, I know what that feels like. I was lured away into this carnal security, thinking that I was okay, thinking that what I was doing was just fine. But in actuality, I was listening to his voice just tell me all of these lies and tell me that everything was okay when it really just wasn't. I was set up in Satan's condo, and it has been my goal not to be there ever since. So finding his lies and then transforming them has been one of my favorite little things that I do personally. In Life Changing Services, the tool that they teach is called Notice It, Name It, Flip It, Find It. So those are the four basic steps. This idea of when you are feeling an emotion, to notice it, which I think is crucial. Sometimes we have no idea that we're noticing emotions. I know quite often I find myself like eating a bag of popcorn with no idea that there's an emotion behind why I'm eating, that I'm actually bored or lonely or tired or something, right? So noticing our emotions is crucial. And then naming them, if we can name something, we can fix it. And I like this idea of, if I name what I'm feeling, then at least I'm aware of it and can decide if I want to have that feeling or if I don't, and where to go from there. Now, I think Satan has a lot of influence that we aren't always aware of. I think quite often he'll take our circumstances and engage them with us in a way that causes some emotions or causes some feelings. And this idea that he can actually like speak to me and I can experience an emotion because of what he's saying was a new thought to me. But since learning that, I can't even say how many like conference talks have said the same thing. Or in the scriptures, it says things like he whispered in their ear and he stirred them up to anger, that he's constantly talking and he always has been. I personally think that Satan knows us pretty well. We know he was with us in the pre-existence. I don't think he had a veil he had to go through. I think he knows us maybe even better than we know ourselves. And so he knows those things about us that are the biggest triggers or the biggest fears or the biggest whatever, the biggest lies, the biggest things that we're gonna, that are gonna affect us the most. So for example, every single day, without fail, I hear the words, I am a burden. And I've always heard them. I've heard them since as long as I can remember, but it wasn't until finding Life Changing Services that I went, oh, this is something that I'm noticing that I hear. This is something that I'm noticing that I feel. And now I've put some words to it, I can do something to it. So I started paying attention to that feeling. And I was in one of the foundation classes, which is a little psychoeducational class that you can do when you're with Worth. And Hallie was teaching, and she taught about this idea of once you've noticed it and once you've named it, then you can step back from it. So she had us go through this process of taking what lie we were noticing and the emotion that it was causing and stepping back by just adding a few words. So with my lie, I am a burden, she had us, the first words we added were, I'm having the feeling that I am a burden. And so we just took a little step back. Like we just talked to ourselves, oh, I'm having the feeling that I am a burden. And then we went one more step back and had to say, I'm noticing that I had the feeling that I was the burden. And so one step farther, put it into this perspective of, oh, I'm noticing that I had that feeling. And I genuinely, as I was doing this process with her, I laughed at that one. Because immediately when I stepped back far enough that I wasn't engaging in this lie with Satan anymore, when I went, I'm noticing that I'm having the feeling that I'm a burden, I swear it was like the spirit swooped in and went, are you kidding me? And I laughed. I laughed right out loud as I said this thing. I was like, oh, I don't need to feel that way. That was silly. And that was life-changing for me. I'm going to keep using that term because it's so true. The fact that I could just go, wait, no. This thing that I'm being told or that I'm feeling isn't actual truth. And when I stop engaging with it, the spirit has a chance. The spirit has a section to come in and go, whoa, 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 whoa. That's clearly not true. Let me help you out. So a few months later, I was teaching. Sorry, what was that? Did I interrupt you?
I just said, oh, because I wanted to say, oh, that is so cool.
It is, right? When we don't engage with the lies that Satan tells us, then the spirit has all sorts of attention from us to talk and let us know what's going on. And it's just incredible.
It's so wonderful. Gosh, it just makes me think of that little of this, how the scriptures teach us the Lord requires your mind and your heart.
Yes.
To receive in revelation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it goes on to teach us that that's exactly how Moses received revelation, was through his mind and his heart. Anyway, it just makes so much sense. Like if you can, because your mind is your thoughts and your heart are your feeling, like you just described. And I love how when you got to that third step, you were like, oh, I'm noticing that. Like, it's like the window just flew up.
Yeah.
And the spirit was like, I've been dying to get in here.
Exactly. Like, the second I went, okay, I'm noticing this, it was almost like I was engaging in a dialogue. Okay, spirit, I'm noticing this. And he came in and was like, no. But it was interesting. I haven't thought of this till what you were just saying, that revelation comes in your heart and in your mind. And so if Satan can get one of those doing something else, then it's harder for the revelation to come in because we're getting distracted, whether it's logic, like, here's all of the proof that you are a burden. Let me show all of these reasons to you. And so he's logically getting me that way. Or if it's, oh, I feel so terrible because I'm a burden. If he can get me distracted with my feelings, if he can take one of those away, how much harder is it for the spirit to talk to us? Because he talks in our mind and our heart. Right. Which is really cool.
Right.
And I thought of it that way.
So good. And it goes back to what you mentioned before about the fear, how your therapist pointed out, the spirit doesn't work in fear.
It's not a byproduct of it.
Okay, keep going.
Okay. No, you're fine. I had that cool moment with the thought I've never heard of before. So a few months later, I was teaching in a Relief Society class, and I was teaching the talk. I'm not sure. It was about Satan's tactics, but all of the October 2019, 2018 ones are about Satan's tactics, the whole thing. So I was teaching one of those, and I went, oh, this whole talk is talking about deception and Satan's lies. And I am a theater major originally. I've got most of my undergrad in theater. And one of the classes I'm required to take in theater is lighting. So with lighting, it's really interesting because if you play with it, you can make things look differently. So for example, I'm wearing a red shirt today. And the reason it looks red, I guess it's kind of maroon. The reason it looks maroon is because all of the other colors from the white light are being soaked up and the maroon is being reflected back. So the maroon is what our eyes see because that's the only thing being reflected back at us. Well, if I were to take the opposite of maroon, we're going back to just red, pretend it's red. If I were to take the opposite of red, which would be green, and I were to shine a purely green light on my shirt, so there's no red in the green light at all, then when I shined that light on my shirt, it would look gray because there wouldn't be anything, or black, there wouldn't be anything that could be reflected back. If the only light hitting my shirt was green, then no red light could reflect back at our eyes. And so we would see it completely different. So I was thinking about this lesson and I went, oh my gosh, I think these lies that Satan throws at us are the exact opposite of what our biggest strengths are. Because if he can knock out our biggest strengths, if he can make us look gray instead of this bright, happy red, if he can just make us go, no, I'm not that color, then how much power does he have over it? And how much can he stop us from doing? So these truths these lies that he tells us, I believe, are probably the exact opposite of what the spirit wants us to believe about ourselves. That if he can hit us with this light, that's the exact opposite and dim our whole spirit, or dim our whole personality, dim our whole whatever we're feeling that day, and stop us from achieving that, then he's done everything. He's taken us from a bright, happy color to this like dull, I have nothing to reflect back at the world. And when I started thinking about that, I was teaching this lesson in Relief Society, and so many women all of a sudden just went, oh, that's what this lie is. And for me, it was life-changing. This is really the only way to describe these principles, to stop and go, okay, every day I hear that I'm a burden, and he's wanting me to hear that I'm a burden because he actually doesn't want me to be available to help lift other people. He doesn't want me to be there to accept help from other people, because if I'm a burden, of course, I'm not going to accept help. He doesn't want me to believe that I'm worthy of these or capable of these things. And so if he can just hit me with this one lie and I can internalize it enough to not act, to not accept help, to not help others, whatever, if I can just internalize that enough to not do whatever I'm meant to do that day, then he's won, he's beat me. And so whenever I hear that, I stop and go, no. I know the actual truth is the opposite of that. What's the opposite? I just got to flip it and figure it out. And then I know where I can anchor myself in.
Okay.
So,
noticing it, naming it, and then stepping back. Once you notice and name it, you can step back a bit.
Yeah.
And then you can go through those little, I'm having a feeling about this. I'm noticing that I'm having a feeling about this. And then, oh.
Yourself up to the spirit. It will tell you.
Oh, yeah. And the spirit's like, finally, the window's open. I'm coming in. And then the very next thing to do is to notice, if that's what I'm noticing that I'm hearing, that's the lie I'm hearing that's making me feel like that, in order just to think, it's like a hint.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's like Satan giving you a hint
of who you are.
Yeah, he's like
saying, now that you've opened the floodgates to the spirit, you've stepped back enough that the spirit can come communicate, you can stop and go, okay, what's the actual truth here then? I don't know, some other common lies I imagine are things like, I'm not worthy enough. I am unlovable. I'm trying to think of just lies.
I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so overwhelmed. I can't do this.
I can't do this.
Yeah. This is
much. Yeah.
This will never be better.
Yeah. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. This will never be better. Things will never change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And so
we step back, and now the spirit can talk to us, and we can go, wait, the truth probably then is this is going to get better, and things do change, and it's not going to last forever, and I can do this, and I will be okay. And all of those things clearly don't bring fear. All of those things clearly come from the spirit, yeah, once we've opened ourselves up to find them.
So good. And you know what I hear when I'm teaching this is, some people will inevitably like be sitting there thinking so hard, and you can tell they want to believe everything, and they get it, they don't. And then they raise their hand finally and they say, well, how do you reconcile yourself between, like, you know, knowing that, yeah, that's not true. That's not helping me. That's not, the spirit can't work in that kind of thought and feeling. But you also know that there's some truth to that feeling. Like, it is true. Like, so-and-so thinks I do that, and the evidence in my life says we're still working on the same thing, and it's been 20 years. Maybe this isn't going to end, you know? And yeah. It's so, so good to know. Two things. One is that Satan will never tell us a lie that isn't also connected to some truth, ever.
Satan loves proof. If he can get us all swarmed up with the logic of how this has to be true.
Yeah.
Why does he love that?
Right. So, because we think of lies are, there's no truth in that. It's a lie. Yeah. Yeah. Right. But he's pretty subtle, sneaky, and had a lot of experience. He totally knows, oh, Karen's not going to believe a lie that says you are a horse. You know, she's a person, right?
Yeah.
If I tell her something about her person and what it does and why it keeps doing that and why she can't stop that, why that's affecting it, you know, that totally makes sense to her because it's tied to her truth, right?
Yeah.
Of her life. And then the second piece is, well, you can't just say, it's hard for me to believe that I just say the opposite and just feel the opposite, even though that sounds, that's absolutely true. You know, are you sure that, isn't that just kind of like saying stuff you don't believe, you know? And I say, that's where we have to understand the atonement of Jesus Christ. His enabling power makes it possible for us to absolutely claim our highest divine identity.
Yes.
And say it out loud, even if we're a hot mess. Yes. So we can say, through Christ, I am not a burden.
Yeah.
Through Christ, I know. I know that I'm, you know, that I'm worthy.
Yeah, sorry. So I also love that if there is correction needed, like if, for instance, I was, I don't know, relying too much on the church, I don't know, if there was actually something to correct, when the spirit is talking to us and the spirit says, you know what, Ashley? Well, I'm just going to use a real example. So recently, home was chaos. I wasn't feeling peace. I went, Heavenly Father, where is this peace? I used to have it. What's happening? And my response was, well, you haven't been doing Come Follow Me. And you know that Come Follow Me peace is a byproduct of that. So maybe you should adjust it. When we do need to receive course correction and the Spirit's talking to us in that way, the way we feel after is, okay, I can do this. I got this. Here's some ways. Or like the brother of Jared, I don't know how to do that, Heavenly Father. So touch these stones. I don't know. Like we might not even know how to do it, but we feel like we can get it done and we can get it done with his help, versus when Satan's talking to us and he's saying, oh, here's all the things you have to change. When Satan's talking to us, we end up feeling down about ourselves. We end up going, see, there is no point. I can't do this. Here's all of the proof of why this will never work. Versus when the Spirit's talking to us, we go, oh, I can see how I should change that, and it's going to be okay. And I'm still a good person, and I'm going to be all right.
Yeah, that is so awesome. Yeah, it's so important to know that when the Spirit teaches us, that it feels like loving correction.
Yeah.
And when Satan is involved, it feels like accusing. And that, yeah, that's definitely his trick. That is not God's trick.
Yeah, definitely. So, there was that talk that paralleled the two. So when the Spirit speaks to us, we end up feeling divine discontent. Oh, there's something that needs to change. And I've gotten it from personal revelation. But when the devil talks, we find ourselves in discouragement and despair. But those don't come from the Spirit. This divine discontent, this idea of something's not quite right, that's what comes from the Spirit. And that's not debilitating. That's empowering. It allows us to change.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. It makes us see ourselves clearly, but not with all this shame or guilt.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's so good. I remember that talk. I remember them actually saying in that little space, Satan loves this sacred space. Oh. Like the divine discontent. Yeah. It said, Satan loves this sacred space.
That's a cool sentence.
Yeah.
He wants to be there.
Yeah, he loves being that. Take it in the wrong direction where you're filled with shame and it's not gonna, why can't you get it together? Oh, good.
And there's just enough proof that we go right along with it.
Yeah.
We think we're okay, but really we're just camped out in Satan's condo. Believe in his lies.
Yeah. Oh, well, and I'm just thinking, there's a quote by Jeffrey R. Holland, and it said, he says, who is it that whispers lies so subtly in our ears? You and I both know who this is. It is the father of all lies. Is Lucifer our common enemy? You know, it's just so cool. Like you said, once you start learning these things, it becomes highlighted as you're studying the gospel. You're like,
I think before Life Changing Services forced me to kind of focus on his lies and what he was saying, I think I kind of thought of Satan as this enigma, like just this thing that, if I was making a poor choice, it was probably like, this natural man. But accepting the reality of, no, there actually is this being who actually does want me to be miserable like unto himself. And so if I'm miserable, it's probably because I'm listening to him versus when I'm feeling peaceful, which comes from the Spirit. That was life-changing. That was life-changing.
Yeah.
There's actually something that wants me to be miserable.
Wow. And you know, at the beginning of your lesson, you started saying just that principle of, Ashley, you could be feeling like you're in a condo, but it's Satan's condo. Like there's cockroaches and it's kind of dusty and you think that's a safe place to be, but when you can see it for what it really is,
it's not.
Yeah, so get out of Satan's condo. Go live in God's condo.
Yeah, get out of Satan's condo. Go over to God's kingdom. I think for people who regularly make decent choices, I'm not saying that I'm this amazing person, but sure. Satan's not going to come to me and be like, you should murder that person, right? That's not something he's going to get me with. That's just not going to work. But if he can get me to just somewhat believe one of his lies and stay camped out in his condo thinking that I'm perfectly safe, when I'm not actually living up to the measure of what I could be, and I'm not actually experiencing the peace that's been promised to me, if he can keep me from feeling those feelings, I think he's almost even happier. Like, he knows he can get, I don't know, Joe Schmo to go murder someone. That happens all the time, right? Yeah. But if he can get those of us who are already fighting and already trying so hard to just not get the peace that we've been promised, to just not have the comforter with us, to just not be as safe as we think we are, I think that's a pretty big win for him.
And the scriptures teach us that Satan surrounds the saints because he knows they have that truth. They do have covenants that are, you know, taking them directly on the path back to, you know, helping God's plan work, which he's so against. So awesome. Okay, I have to read one more thing. It's a scripture. It's in 2 Nephi 28:22. And it says, and behold, he flattereth away and telleth them there is no hell. Like, this is God's condo. You're not doing anything wrong. And don't make your life harder. Just keep sitting there, you know?
Yeah.
So good.
Or even just that first, the devil's probably just my natural man, right? Like, no, he is an enemy. He is a being. There is a devil. He does exist.
And he's very personal and relentless.
Yeah.
And it goes on to say, and he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance.
Isn't that a little terrifying? Like, he just whispers in our ears and slowly gains so much power. This guy is willing to do the marathon, right? He's not looking for the quick change of heart. He is right there, slowly whispering in our ear. If I can just get her to believe that she's a burden and she's not worthy and she can't do it and there's no reason, then...
Get her to be always spinning in fear, then she'll just sit there and not do anything dangerous.
All of the good things she could be doing.
Right? I don't want her to be an annoyer and a disturber of my plan.
Yeah.
Let's just keep her asleep with her eyes open.
Yeah. What a great description of that. Her asleep thinking that she's fine.
That's amazing.
I've just flattered her away. I love that word too. Like, flattering her. Like, no, I've got this. I'm okay. I'll be all right. I don't need help. All these things that, like, when you think of flattering, it's building up a person, right? So it almost feels like I'm okay. I don't need help is building myself up. But those are all just his little flatteries.
Or even that flattery of, last time you tried that, it was a lot of effort. You know, you need a break. You need a break. You got to sit down.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah, that's hard. You don't feel like doing that. Yeah, so good. Amy, it's been so uplifting talking to you. Like, really, some of the things we've talked about, I'm like, thank you for that shot in the arm that helped me.
I've really enjoyed talking about it too. I feel like we should all just be having these conversations all the time. Life gets easier when you call out Satan and he runs away. Something to note, I don't know why this just came to mind, so I'm going to put it in there. But in Moses, he's just had this huge experience with Heavenly Father, right? And Heavenly Father calls him the Son of God and they talk and knows who he is. And immediately after, here comes Satan. And Satan calls him the Son of Man and tries to put him down and get him to leave all of these lies. And Moses doesn't. He's like, I know who I am. I'm not going to. And so Satan fights back harder. And Moses doesn't. He's like, I know who I am. So Satan throws a little tantrum and makes the earth shake and he makes the heavens gnash. And he does all his like 2-year-old tantruming because he's not getting his way. And Moses, instead of being intimidated by the fact that the earth is shaking and rocks are falling, goes, no. I know who I am. I'm not going to move. And then finally, Satan does leave. There are moments where Satan will go away to collect himself. He's always going to come back. But when we stand firm in who we are, when we stand firm with, nope, I know this about myself. I see the earth shaking and I know that you're screaming this at me with all of this proof that you are as incredible as you think you are, Satan. But I'm going to stand firm in my connection with Heavenly Father and I know who I am and I know the truth that I'm going to get through this scary little tantrum of yours. And then pretty soon I'll get at least a bit of a reprieve with the Spirit as he comes in and brings me back that peace.
Ah, so good. Yeah. And, you know, one of the challenges of this topic in our lesson is just about pondering about how pondering about how you will approach taking responsibility for your moods, your feelings, and your thoughts, and aligning with the spirit in battle. Oh, and you've just taught us that. It was beautiful. Like, really, that's the challenge. Like, when this lesson over, okay, challenge is to go ponder about how you will approach taking responsibility for your moods, and we call them mood battles, and align with the spirit in battle.
I love that. I think that's amazing. And I am not always good at it, but boy, I quite often wake up in the middle of a mood battle. My kids are in a bad mood and I'm in a bad mood. It's happening just this morning. And having had that challenge and figuring out in advance when I'm in these moods, when things aren't working out how I want to, or I'm not feeling okay, or Satan's got me going up the chemical scale, that I know what I'm going to do. And having that plan in advance is powerful.
Yeah.
It's really cool when you're able to stop and go, No, I know how to handle this situation. I'm not going to get overwhelmed. I'm just going to follow through on what I've already said I would do when I find myself in these battles.
I'm going to notice how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to name it, validate myself. Boy, am I overwhelmed right now.
That's so awesome. Like, yeah, you're going to name the feeling, but validate the feeling, right? Boy, yes, I am overwhelmed right now. Okay.
No judgment. It's just naming. This is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
For our friends, it's important to name them.
Yeah. And then once you've noticed and named it, you can step back a little bit. And then you're just kind of talking or thinking your way through it. Yep. And those three questions that you ask were so cool. Same again. I'm having this feeling.
Oh, yeah. Feeling this. I am noticing that I'm feeling this. Yeah. Stepping back and allowing yourself to get out of the battle with Satan for his mind or your heart so that the spirit can come in and bring you the truth.
Yeah. And then, oh, I can see that. And once it's like, oh, I can see, it's like, oh, my heart and my mind, like I can see more clearly. And that's the Holy Ghost speaks through your heart and through your mind. Like, yeah, it's totally, we're taught that in the scriptures. So
definitely.
Well, Ashley, bless you. So grateful that you are here and taught us that beautiful truth.
I am honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you people listening, really, we invite you to come and learn more. You can learn these things if you are struggling with betrayal trauma, like Ashley found herself in that situation. It's so cool. For a whole year, you can have therapeutic-led groups in betrayal trauma here, along with these really inexpensive, amazing classes that you can take in the Worth group. And it's so great. And then we also have, like she mentioned, life coaches, eternal warrior mentors, where you can take a class with these principles with your whole family, or just you in a group, or just you as an individual. We also have things just for parents. We have the mom power training, where these principles are taught at a level of how do I mother in this situation and handle my own heart and mind and apply just what Ashley taught.
Which I've done. It's also amazing.
Yeah, so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fathers Who Fight. We have the Men of Moroni program and Sons of Healing programs that go into all these, every one of these lessons they cover in the recovery groups in order. 1 through 12, start over. 1 through 12, all these topics. And then Daughters of Light is for women and young women. Yeah, so valuable. It's just really highlighting, if you know who your enemy is and that there's only one of them, yep, and what his tactics are, then you could put into perspective, like, okay, if there's only one enemy, then okay, I can fight with and for Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior. It's not me. I can let him have it. And then I can really do a lot to support and help him in my own healing if I know how to make my heart and my mind available.
They're beautiful principles. It's really cool.
Yeah. Okay. So if you were giving a shout out to these people that are listening and you just wanted to say something to them from your heart, just how we train and heal the whole family, or just something that's really helped you, what would you just love to say?
Probably one of the biggest themes that I didn't pick up on until after I'd gone through all of the lessons is really the importance of what you were just saying, anchoring to God and knowing who you are and knowing your enemy. And when you know who you are, you know your enemy, you're able to stand there and know that you're in a battle. It changes everything. And I've listened in on, I'm a single mom when that works, so I haven't actively participated, but I've listened in on the moms who know, and it teaches the same concept, but with this cool perspective of as a mother. I've tried to teach these things to my kids, even as young as we are. Like, I think there's a reason we learn I am a child of God very first. Mm-hmm. When we really internalize this, oh, I'm a child of Heavenly Father. Like, he loves me. And we allow that to be our defining thing rather than the lies that Satan's throwing at us. It's a whole lot easier to battle the enemy because we're on the side that's going to win anyway.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Ashley.